just starting at the US to begin with, and a few factors working through here. First of all, the data. The data is still coming through pretty well and suggests that the economic recovery is continuing pretty strongly. We've got it there in the key leading indicators. So, for example, we had the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index and also the ISM Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index for both for November, and the manufacturing ISM lifted more than expected to 61.1 from 60.8, and the non-manufacturing PMI, the services part, roared. It went from 66.7 up to 69.1. Now, these are two really key leading indicators covering just about most of the economy, and both of them suggesting that things could not be stronger. We also had lagging indicators like the non-farm payrolls came through, and whilst the number of jobs was less than expected, so non-farm payrolls lifted by 210,000 rather than the 563,000 expected, the previous 2 months were both revised upwards. So the previous month revised upwards from 531,000 to 546,000. And the unemployment rates come all the way down to 4.2% from 4.6%, indicating a tight labour market. Average hourly earnings running little under on monthly expectations at 0.3%, but that's still enough to keep the annual change in non-farm payrolls at in average hourly earnings at 4.8%. So you've got still reasonable wage movement running through the United States. But then on top of that, we had Powell's testimony through the course of the week. And almost a bet each way, because on one side of it, he's saying, look, we've got it wrong on inflation. It's not transitory, and we can't keep calling it transitory. So that started speculation that, obviously they're going to be thinking about moving interest rates up perhaps a bit sooner than expected, and certainly he's indicated they're going to be removing unconventional monetary policy support at a quicker pace. But he's also indicating we just don't know how to play the new COVID variant. There's risks to the economic recovery. So he's still got that little bit of almost an insurance policy out there that we could see the economic recovery being dented. Now, Omicron, the latest variant of COVID, it's a hard one. It's adding to uncertainty in financial markets. We don't still know a great deal about it. We will know more over the next week to 10 days. But it could go either way in terms of what it implies for markets, because what we do know about it is it's way more infectious than the previous variants. So the way these variants work, the previous variants we hear about, when you get a new, more infectious variant comes about, people catch that in larger numbers. It takes care of the variants that went before. This is the way that every pandemic in history has moved, that you get a more virulent one, which eventually takes the whole pandemic out, because basically it overcomes the earlier variants. What we don't know about this one yet is whether it gives people more serious illness or whether it leads to more deaths. And the early evidence we have, admittedly on a young population in Africa, is that it looks as if it's a fairly mild variant. So that means that it could be a real blessing, because what happens is most people catch it. It's almost like getting a booster shot. They don't get very sick with it. And it means that you forget about Delta. Delta's taken out by Omicron, actually making sure that people don't catch that. So this could be a huge boost to the economic recovery as we go further forward. But alternatively, we may find out that it's actually more deadly and a worse disease. And then, of course, it's back to restrictions and things start to count against. We simply do not know. And uncertainty is something which obviously financial markets hate. And so that's part of what's running through at the moment in terms of the volatility we're seeing running through markets for the time being. This week in the US, though, we'll get to focus on that problem of inflation. Later in the week, we get the November CPI coming out, And at this point, it looks like the CPI will show another lift in the annual rate. So CPI in the United States looks as if the market consensus for November was up about 0.7%. If that's the case, the annual rate of inflation in the US will lift to 6.7% from 6.2%. And this is the problem we've got at the moment. You know, quite clearly, inflation's running head and shoulders above where central banks expected, and central banks are still sort of only slowly shifting their guidance about what they're going to do about this. Core inflation is expected to be up by 0.5%. If it's up 0.5% month on month in November, the annual rate of inflation will lift to 4.9% from 4.6%. So inflation, I think, is still the bigger worry. You know, for the time being, what's happened is that, you know, with the doubts around Omicron and the remains of Delta and the infection rate you've had in Europe and the United States, that's been enough to take the top off bond yields for the time being. But the inflation rate, I think, and what happens with that, will start to lift those bond yields again at some point. So we're just waiting to see how all these things play out over the course of the next few weeks, and it's still a pretty choppy environment. Looking at China, the data out of China was okay, such as it was last week. We had both their manufacturing purchasing managers index and both the official and the unofficial versions of, or the private sector versions of that, and also their services PMIs, both versions again. The official version of the manufacturing PMI lifted more than expected. It was expected to be below 50. It lifted a bit above 50 from 49.2 the previous month. It's gone to 50.1. That's actually quite a reasonable lift. The services sector PMI held at 52.3. It was 52.4 going back the previous month. The Cakes inversion, though, which is often looked on as being more reliable, that actually shifted back a little bit. So it was at 50.6 going back to October. That actually settled back to 49.9. So it's a very, very mixed signal we're getting out of China on those two indicators. And the Cakes in services PMI came down to 52.1 from 53.8. So not a lot of clarity about how China's economy is performing just out of those numbers. This week in China, tomorrow we'll get their latest trade data. Trade's been doing reasonably well for China. It's one of the few parts of the economy, because of the global economic recovery, which is contributing to their economic growth rate. But there is some expectation they're going to see some falls. It's actually going to be growing at a much lesser rate in terms of the annual growth rate. So November exports, they were up 27.1% year-on-year going back to October. They're expected to come back to about 17.2%. Imports, which were growing at 20.6, expect to come back to about 19.5, so just a bit of a slowing running through there. And then on Thursday, we get the consumer price index and producer prices. The CPI is going to lift, so it'll be interesting to see how much. China's had a very low CPI rate compared with the rest of the world so far. It was at 1.5% year-on-year going back to October. The month before that was only 0.8%. It's expected to lift to 2.5% in the month of November. Producer prices, which were up at 13.5% year-on-year going back to October, there's hope that might come back a little bit to 12.6%. If it does that, it's slightly helpful in terms of inflation outlook, but there are some provisos on that, and I'll get to that. What was happening in Europe last week, but still very, very elevated. This has been the problem that the central banks have faced in their talk that we're going to have this transitory inflation problem, where you had supply chain problems meeting very strong demand for manufactured goods. This caused prices to go up. As soon as you get rid of the supply side problems, supply will come up to meet demand, prices will come down. It just hasn't worked that way. We've had some of these supply chain problems seem to be almost permanent. Semiconductors, for example, inside the computer systems in cars. There's no sign of that getting any better anytime soon. So new cars are in chronic short supply everywhere around the world, and you've got some price escalation running through that. transfer to many other things. And all the other things which rely on those sorts of parts are having some difficulty too. So these are some of the issues which are still there driving inflation for the time being. Now, just on Australia, last week we had our Q3 GDP. It fell, not as much as the market expected. The configuration was pretty much what was expected. It was fall running through household consumption expenditure because of the shutdowns in Victoria and New South Wales through the quarter. We had a lesser fall running through private investment spending. We had contributions to growth from government spending because they're spending more. And we had a strong contribution from net exports, which was expected. So the contribution was fairly much as expected, but it was all of a lesser degree in terms of the downturn. So the market was looking for a 2.7% fall in GDP. It was only 1.9%. So the annual rate of growth is still pretty positive at 3.9%. Admittedly, that's down from 9.5%. But in Q4, we're going to get a pretty strong rebound running through this stuff. And where you can see it is in things like retail trade. We had the retail trade number for October came out. It was a confirmation of the preliminary reading, and that was that retail trade was up 4.9% in the month of October after being up 1.3% in September. So the household consumption expenditure was the big dent in growth in Q3. It's going to turn to a big positive running in Q4. So you're going to see a complete reversal of that that weakness running through GDP as you go into Q4. In terms of this week, we've got ANZ job ads coming out today. They've been rising all the way through. So they're up 2.1% last month, expect to rise again. We've still got this pressure building in various parts of the labour market. On Tuesday, before the RBA, we get the third quarter house prices. These rose on the ABS survey by 6.7% quarter on quarter, pretty close to 20% year on year. We think we've got another 6% quarter on quarter, so around 20% year on year for house prices. This is before perhaps the most recent month or two, where there's just the first signs of slight moderation, but still running very, very high. We have the RBA on Tuesday, the meeting. This is the last one of the year. They don't meet in January, so the next one after this will be in February. And there'll be no change. It'll be a confirmation that they're still going to try and hold the line as far as monetary policy is concerned. Think that many of the inflation factors in Australia are less pronounced than they are overseas. There's circumstances where they're going to be patient before they lift interest rates. But of course, they've taken out that guidance that there'll be no hike in interest rates before 2024. That went last month and it won't be coming back. It leaves that potential for interest rates to go up at some point, either in 2022 or 2023. And we followed up with Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe speaking during the week as well, and undoubtedly he reinforced those messages. Europe last week, interesting readings really. The economy is going okay. We had November business and consumer confidence that was at 118.6. It came back a little, but only to 117.5, so that was looking pretty good. But we also had their CPI and producer prices came out, and these are just going ballistic. Europe's got the most intense problems in terms of inflation lifting. And the November CPI was expected to lift to 4.4% year-on-year from 4.1%. It lifted to 4.9% year-on-year. Core inflation rate has lifted from 2.1%. It was expected to lift to 2.2%. It lifted to 2.6% year on year. But the one which is just truly shocking was the producer price index. In November, it was already running at 16% year on year in October. It was expected to lift to 19% year on year. It lifted to 21.9% year on year. In just 1 month, producer prices went up 5.4% month on month. Inflation is just taking off as far as Europe's concerned. This, at some point, the ECB has to respond to that. We also got the unemployment rate came out of Europe. That came down to 7.3 from 7.4. But as I say, it's the inflation rate, which is really pretty astounding, that's running through Europe at the moment. Something else that is a potential worry for financial markets in Europe, and these are always very, very hard things to assess, but there's a lot of talk about the troop build-up by Russia on the borders with Ukraine. And according to US intelligence, Russia is looking at having about 190,000 troops on the border with Ukraine by the middle of January, and is thinking about walking over Ukraine at that point. The US has said that if they are tempted to do that, they will respond, and because of the alliance with NATO, all the countries that are in NATO will respond. There's an ominous sign about this. This is like 1939 revisited. When Germany marched first over Austria, then through Czechoslovakia, everybody blinked, and then eventually it was too much when they marched over Poland. It's one of those factors which you think is impossible, that you can't imagine that it can possibly happen. But this is Putin's 1939 moment. He either blinks, which I hope he does, or he tries his arm and pretends, as Hitler did back in 1939, that the West might rattle the saber, but they're not going to respond. They'll let them take over. This is one of those other things that the markets will have to worry about as we go through Christmas and New Year. So unfortunately, volatility is going to remain. This is a big one, just sitting there on the sidelines, that may be something we'll all be worrying at way more about than inflation or the pandemic when we get through into the early part of 2022.